I want to broaden out the discussion a little bit here in terms of that give and take that we are discussing between wage pressures, inflation, and a slowing pace of hiring there, as is clear. We didn't hit the numbers that a lot of people were expecting. And for more on that, I want to bring in Beth Ann Bovino, S&P Global Ratings, U.S. Chief Economist, joins us now. And Beth, I mean, you're just listening to Brian kind of walk through the numbers we got in this report, but a lot of questions around whether or not the economy's recovery is strong enough, I suppose, for the Fed to be coming off of their accommodative stance to start tapering in November. What's your take about what we heard in this report and, I guess, where we're at in the recovery?
I guess my take is that I don't think there's any time to sound the alarms that the recovery is weakening. I don't think this is about the risk of recession increasing. In fact, we have a very low risk of recession at 10 to 15%. Maybe it'll go up a little bit, but not by much. I think what's really driving this are supply chain disruptions, and that's also in the jobs market. When you look at, and I also agree with your colleague that I don't think this is going to slow the Fed anytime soon. You're looking at a jobs market that has job openings at multi-year record highs. You have, this came also on the top of the ADP report, which was rather strong. And what was already mentioned, the unemployment rate also dropped pretty significantly. So right now, I see this as more just a kind of the mismatch that the U.S. economy and the rest of the world, for that matter, is facing in terms of bringing supply to the businesses in need.
Beth, it may not be time to sound the alarm, but I'm looking at your notes before the report. You were expecting 600,000 jobs added in the month. And specifically, you said with schools returning to in-person learning, as well as the expiration of the enhanced unemployment benefits, you expected labor participation to go up significantly. What happened there?
I'm glad you brought that up, because the one thing that I was expecting, I was expecting a nice reading. And part of it was that we were seeing some good earlier indication that the numbers were going to be strong. Initial jobless claims were rather healthy. All these other factors that suggested that there was going to be a good reading. And I was also thinking that there's a lot of people that were sitting on the sideline, people who had extended unemployment benefits that ran out in September, thought maybe this is time to get back and start looking for work. The other factor was that you're seeing many schools that have now opened in person, and that also would signal that a lot of parents, particularly women, would come back to the workforce now that they don't have to chaperone their children during a hybrid schooling. This didn't happen, and that to me is one concern. I'm going to keep, this is 1 month. This 1 month doesn't make a trend, but I'm certainly keeping an eye on what happens with that labor participation rate. And that one mention that somebody said about the structural change, that's something that we certainly need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, there was no shortage of people who were in your camp, too, expecting a stronger reading than what we got here in this report. That was kind of consensus. I guess it does kind of raise questions as to why maybe it didn't happen. If, you're laying it all out, we saw that. And of course, Delta kind of maybe undid some of that, stop start in terms of a full return back to normal that a lot of people were hoping would happen. But I guess, it's also the time when you were seeing the roll off of all those benefits. It was also expected to really give a boost to people going back to work. So, I mean, I wonder what it signals to you in terms of maybe some of this lingering effect here that might spill over into next year.
Well, I think one thing that we would take into account, one, first of all, the Delta variant, fortunately, we're starting to see cases and also hospitalizations drop. And that's a real positive. So maybe the Delta variant will be behind us at some point in the near future. But I do think that there's a factor that's at play here, and maybe something that my team and other economists across, and markets for that matter, might have not taken into account. The fear effect from the Delta variant is one thing at play. Another thing at play is that still, we knew this was going to take some time, but it might take a lot longer than we thought. The location mismatch that many people left the places where those jobs are. Have they come back? Is it going to take a lot longer than we had thought? And this is a big signal for what the Fed will do. Now, we do think that the Fed will continue to move with tapering, but could they maybe push it out a month, maybe two? That's certainly something that I'm sure they're going to discuss at the next meeting.
What would be the case to push it out?
Well, I think right now our expectation is that the Fed will continue to, will I think that my expectation is that the Fed will continue to announce Fed tapering in November, and that they will start the process at the end of this year, as they had signaled. Could they move it further? I think that these two numbers wouldn't be enough. But if they start to see more weakness, yeah, I guess they could say, why don't we hold off? I think there's more reason for them to continue on the path that course, though, particularly when we look at those wage gains that were significantly high. And basically, inflation is picking up. And that's another thing that's on their mind.
Yeah, there is kind of one question to ask too around, you know, we've talked so much about Main Street and Wall Street and kind of the market expectations around tapering and then the health of the consumer. And that's one thing that had held steady earlier in the pandemic, but kind of starting to see signs of some issues there in terms of confidence numbers and just, you know, the inflation pieces that we've been putting together here, particularly on the energy front, I suppose, as well. I mean, when you put those things together, has the case changed maybe that, you know, Main Street's been holding up fine, the consumer's been holding up fine, the longer that this drags on with some of those benefits maybe starting to roll off?
Well, I think in terms of the health of the consumer, certainly when you go, you have sticker shock when you go to the gas pump. Prices are a lot higher. Now, keep in mind, there's nowhere near what many of us had faced when we've had a Middle East when we've had crises in the Middle East, which pushed prices up incredibly high. But that is something that people will notice. But I also want to note on the flip side that household balance sheets are very healthy for that matter. We do something called a financial fragility index, and we look at households and businesses. And in both cases, they are looking at a healthy balance sheet, healthier than over the last 10 years. That's one factor. Households are sitting on a lot of cash as well. You have basically the savings for the average household is about 2.5 trillion over what it was in 2019. So I do think that they're sitting on a lot of cash, and that might be one reason why they're not rushing to the jobs market at this point in time.
Yeah, I think it's going to matter a little bit more too once we hit earnings season to wrap up the year, what companies are seeing in terms of demand across all these sectors in regards to the consumer here. But very interesting to see this report come in weaker than expected. Beth Ann Bovino, appreciate you coming on here to chat today. S&P Global Ratings U.S. Chief Economist, thanks again for the time.